Hello and welcome to the Happier at Work podcast. I'm your host, Aoife O'Brien. This is the Career and Culture podcast. And if you are a forward-thinking, people-centric leader, then you're absolutely in the right place. Through a combination of interview-based episodes as well as solo episodes, I share practical tips on creating happier working environments.
So I call it a confidence journal, and I encourage every woman that I work with to have their confidence journal. And at the end of every week, I want you to put in there what you've achieved, any feedback that you've received from your team, from your manager, and any accolades that you've won, any performance management, your annual performance reviews, you know, whatever's happened. Because the way our women's brains work is that we will focus on the negative and not on the positive. So if I'm sitting here in front of you now and I'm saying, I love your podcast. It's absolutely amazing. You've had the most fantastic guests over the last couple of years. Every time I listen in, I learn something new. It's wonderful. But I think if you did this one thing differently, you might get a better quality of listeners. So focus on that one bad but, and we'll miss the three great things. So unless we capture those three great things in our notebook, confidence journal, or wherever you want to put them, they'll be gone and lost forever.
Whether you are looking to strategically and more proactively manage your career or create a more positive work culture in your organization, this is definitely the podcast for you. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Happier at Work podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Deirdre McGinn today. And if you feel like you've lost sight of what's important in your life, if you feel like you don't even know who you are anymore, you don't recognize the person in the mirror, and you're trying to reconnect with that purpose that you used to have in your life, this episode is definitely for you. We are talking about igniting confidence in women so that they thrive at work. We talk about things like identity and money and purpose and awareness and visibility. So all of those things that are so, so important to have a fulfilling work life and to progress and thrive in the work that you're doing. I so know you're going to enjoy this episode. Do let me know what you think. Connect with me through the website happieratwork.ie. And I look forward to hearing from you. Deirdre, you're so welcome to the Happier at Work podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you as my guest today. Do you want to introduce yourself, let people know a little bit about your background and how you got to doing what you're doing today?
Aoife, thanks a million for having me. I really appreciate it. So my name is Deirdre McGinn. I'm the founder of an organization called Step Up, Step In. So that I've been in this business now for the last 3 or 4 years. It was founded from a very dark place, if I'm honest. So Step Up, Step In is a leadership organization, coaching and leadership organization to help support women to build confidence and thrive at work. And that dark place was me probably being burnt out. And on top of being burnt out in my corporate career, I was also at a place where I just couldn't get excited about work anymore. And I think there was a sense of me going into self-destructive mode at work, which led then, I believe, to an opportunity to take redundancy from that place of work. And then suddenly I was nobody anymore in my mind. I had lost my sense of identity. I'd lost my sense of who I was. And I was at sea and didn't really understand what was next for me. I did have a real sense that I couldn't go back into corporate life in the way that I'd been in it, and I needed to do something different. So I took some time out and reflected on life, on where I had got to. I was at this stage now, I was in my early, just hitting 50. So it's one of those milestones in life where you start to question what's going on. And as part of that questioning, as part of a course that I was doing around executive coaching, and as part of the travel and opening my mind to new ways of being in the world, it led me to a place where I knew I wanted to support women. I knew I wanted to look to the experience that I'd gained in my corporate life and see how I could use that to mentor and coach women to find a level of confidence in the workplace. That's where it started from. So in terms of my corporate career, it spanned 25 years in the technology industry. I kind of landed into that industry, and I think when you go in there, it's very hard to get back out of it again, because it's a great place to build a career, but also it pays you quite a lot of money, so you get very comfortable in that world. So I worked in organizations like Oracle, IBM, and my last rodeo before leaving was at LinkedIn, where I was a sales director managing their Southern European business. So that's sort of a quick synopsis of how I got to where I am today and the dark place that led me to the most joyful place, which is where I'm at today and running Step Up, Step In.
Brilliant. I love it. I love it, Deirdre. And it's so relatable. I think there's so much that I want to kind of reflect on and go back in relation to what you've just uncovered there. But I think for me, it's so relatable where you're in work and you're like, is this all there is? Or you're just not feeling it anymore. And that happened to me. And, you know, I suppose there's a couple of instances that always stick in my mind. But the most recent one was I just wasn't feeling fulfilled. I wasn't working to my strengths. I wasn't being recognized in the way that I thought I should be recognized. I just felt very stifled in the role that I was in. And so I think a lot of people can end up feeling that way. But the big thing, well, there's a couple of things, but the big thing that stood out for me, Deirdre, is this idea that our identity is wrapped up in the work that we do. And I think that's so true for a lot of people. And do you want to talk to me a little bit more about that and the impact that that had? So your entire identity is wrapped up in your job, and then you find yourself redundant. Although on the one hand, you might be sort of you're happy because you're like, well, I wasn't that happy at work. But at the same time, it's like, well, if I don't have work, what do I have? Who am I?
I think for me, it stems back to very early in my career, or even before my career began, actually. I was a single mother at 18. And I suppose that was the first kind of big moment in life when you have this little baby and you have to find, you know, you have to find a way of keeping it alive and making sure that you're providing for it. As a single mother, there was nobody else there to support me, so I had to do it for myself. So building my career became such a big part of supporting Jason and providing a lifestyle for him. Mm. So as he grew up, there wasn't an awful lot left behind him to fill my life apart from work, because I put so much time and effort into it. So when Jason went off and flew the coop at 20 years of age, it was work. Work was everything. So I didn't have a partner. I had never got married. I hadn't really got a big life, to be honest. And my whole status, identity, everything was so caught up in the organization that I worked for and the job that I did for them. So the more that status became important to me, the more I worked. So when it comes to a time when it's taken away from you, there's nothing behind it to support you. So I fell apart. I literally fell apart. I was so lost, Aoife. It affected all parts of me, my health. So I wasn't sleeping. I had put on a lot of weight. I was going into my 50s, and I think perimenopause was kind of kicking in for me. So that was bringing its own challenges, all happening in the same year. So I went to my doctor. I was prescribed antidepressants because I just couldn't get out of the bed some mornings. I'm looking at myself going, this is so not me. Mm. I couldn't relate to this person that I had become in a very, very short space of time. And although you mentioned I was happy to be out of work. Was I happy to be out of work?
Mm.
Although I was paid to leave, I wasn't happy. It was like, how could I be happy when I didn't even know who I was?
Yeah.
So it took me a good few months to really pull myself together and to really think about what was really important to me. Because I'd lost sight of what was important. I'd lost sight of hobbies, ways of entertaining myself, spending time with my friends, spending time with my family, travel, which is something that I loved. All of those things were secondary. And I had to rediscover all of that for myself and then retrain myself to do something that I really loved. And it took me a while to figure out, you know, I talk about purpose all the time, and I talk about how we build purpose and how, you know, we need to go and find purpose for ourselves. And sure, when I was in corporate world, I wasn't able to do any of that for myself. So it was only when I left that I started to think about purpose. What was my purpose? Why was Deirdre McGinn on this earth? And what was I meant to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And when I reflected on my corporate life, I spent a lot of time in there working with individual women, mentoring them, helping lift them up, giving them opportunity, encouraging them to say yes to opportunity, helping to build their visibility. So it was just taking all of those parts of the 25 years of corporate life that I just loved doing and packaging that into something that I knew I was really good at, because that was part of my brand in corporate world, and packaging up into something that I could go and support women and earn a living doing. So it took me nearly 12 months to figure all that out. But when I did, it has just brought so much joy into my life. Like, mm-hmm. I believe I have the best job in the world.
Yeah.
I get to work with groups of women and individual women on a daily basis. And if I have the slightest impact, like I know this morning I was working with a group of 12 women in an organization. And I know after leaving that 2-hour session that there was light bulb moments going off. The theme of that session this morning was around confidence. And there was light bulb moments going off. And they left with a toolkit of things that they can do to support themselves. Mm. And like the joy from them leaving that just makes my day. And that's makes my job easy. I'm sure you feel the exact same, because you do
exactly
the same thing.
Exactly. It's joy. My whole philosophy is happier at work. And for me, I suppose it's a day at a time, isn't it? It's figuring out, well, what can I do today to make myself happier? But I suppose what I wanted to understand a little bit more, Deirdre, and maybe you can expand on this point, is you don't have to leave your job, or you don't have to be made redundant, or you don't have to go to the depths that you went to change things around for yourself. It's about maybe rediscovering who you are when you're not at work. So who you are when you're not at work helps you to enjoy the work that you do as well. So it's not just solely about, well, I'm working 12-hour days and that's who I am and I really want to get to director level. And I was chatting with someone the other day and she was kind of talking me through this whole process that she had gone through internally, where she always wanted to make it to director level in the organization that she worked in, until she realized, having been passed over for a promotion, she started questioning herself and saying, well, do I really want this anyway? Is this what I really want? Or have I just been on this track and am I feeding the ego then by progressing and progressing? And it's coming from a place that is not for me, essentially.
Yeah, and you have to be able to get off the hamster wheel to realize that it's not for you, or that maybe there's something else out there, especially in the corporate world, because it's so fast, it's so busy, there's so many demands on you, there's so much stress in the system, that come off that hamster wheel can be really difficult to really give yourself the time and opportunity to think about these things. And what I'm finding is a lot of women are starting to invest in themselves to get help to get off their hamster wheel, to create the space to think about this stuff through coaching.
Yes.
I think now it's about, you know, helping women just to take a little bit of time for themselves, because we don't tend to do that. We don't tend to invest in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't tend to take the time to look at ourselves and look within to see what is it that I really, really want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's where I start with the women I work with. Like, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. It's our Spice Girl.
We can break into song now, Deirdre, with that.
It's my Spice Girls moment. I say it every time. And it's about really building that level of self-awareness around who and what you are, and putting the pieces of the jigsaw together. So you can start to see, well, okay, when I look at my values, when I look at what I'm really passionate about, and I look at my strengths, And I look at the impact that I want to have and all seven elements of self-awareness. And when I start to put that down together, it doesn't mean, it doesn't look like I want to be a director of, but maybe I want to, within an organization, I want to pivot and do something different. But at least now I've got a level of awareness as to what that might look like. And I think that's the first step. It's creating awareness around what it is. How can you start to think differently about your career when you're in the middle of it?
Yeah, I suppose I want to share something that I've heard you talk about before, Deirdre, this idea of capacity and just giving ourselves that capacity. And to me, like, it's permission to actually take the time for yourself. So get off that busyness, stop using busyness as an excuse. I love that term, capacity, like just give ourselves that time that we need. It's really interesting what you're saying about awareness as well, because that's something like I think, for me, awareness is the first step towards any sort of change. You have to be aware of it, first of all, you know, and recognize it and accept it as this is the current reality. What you're talking about in relation to the careers as well, and, you know, just, I suppose, the permission to do what it is that we want to do within our career. I was speaking at an organization last week, actually, and we were talking about this topic of careers and, you know, various different things came up, you know, personal branding and confidence and all of these types of things. But one of the things that I shared in that session was that most people don't actually know what it is that they want. So I think that's maybe where the disconnect is, that we haven't given ourselves permission or time or whatever it is that we need to really uncover what it is that we want. We're on some sort of a track, maybe it's a fast track, and we're heading towards this direction. And we think that's what we want because we're surrounded by people who want those same things or who also think that they want those same things. And, you know, I'm thinking specifically from my own perspective and, you know, I had my sights set on CEO of this huge company that I was working for, 40,000 people, and I never second guessed myself, but I also never had a strategy in place to say, how can I get from where I am now and what are the steps I need to take? It was just like this aspiration that I had for no apparent reason, probably completely and utterly ego-based. But I'd love to kind of unpack that a little bit about, like, how do we start to think about what it is that we really want?
I think you've covered a lot of it there. It's first, be aware that you know that there's something else out there for you, that maybe there's an inkling of unhappiness, there's an inkling that maybe it's not right.
Yeah.
Maybe that there's something different. And I think once you're aware of that, it's about how, what's the support network I need around me that will allow me to change?
Yeah.
So what are the positive relationships around me that will help me unpick some of this stuff? It's very hard to do on your own.
Yes, yeah.
You're in it.
You're doing all of the thinking and you've thought yourself into this situation.
Yeah, and you need a different perspective. You need just, you know, and especially for women, women love community and we love to share. So if there's something going on or if there's like, we will go out and share it to 10 other women and we'll gather information and opinion from all of those other women. And we need that. We need to bring that back home so that we can see how our thinking is reflected in other people. So I think having a positive community around you to allow you to share your ideas, your thoughts, what might be bubbling up inside. Like you mentioned aspiration and ego. I think aspiration is probably the one thing as we get older we lose, and I think aspiration is so powerful. And an aspiration is not something that we'll ever get to, but it's a direction. It gives us a form of direction, and we need direction because, like, a lot of this is hamster wheel, rudderless, just getting on, doing what we need to do to survive. You know, if you look at you know, a woman's life line, and not, it's not the same for all women, but you know, we spend a lot of time educating and starting to build our careers in our 20s. In our 30s, life starting to change. It might be that we want to have children, it might be that we get married, so we go into a different side of our life. And then it's really only when we hit our 40s that the children are getting a little bit older and we can go and try and figure out what a career might look like. And then we're building up into this big crescendo. We hit our 50s and then menopause hits. And it's like, holy mother, what's that about? Like when we're in our prime, it just gets kind of cut from under us. And then we have to start slapping creams all over us and kind of figure out how do we get back to a place of normality, of feeling normal. And then
we're into retirement, Deirdre.
And then it's time to get the hell out of Dodge, right?
Yes.
So it's about timing all of this, or, you know, and in some cases we don't get to time it. So we just need to see how we can figure out how we step away from it for a small space of time so we can do that reflecting. And I think what organizations can help us do that.
Yeah.
I think having good mentor, having somebody who's a good sponsor within an organization are good resources to help us step away from the day-to-day norm and to think a little bit differently. In my career, I've been very blessed to have some great sponsors. And sponsors are those individuals that are advocating about you behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So they see your potential. Like, you have to feed them, you know, like it doesn't, you know, you earn the respect and the trust of a sponsor. But once they see it in you, they'll see more in you than you see in yourself. So they're advocating. So I, you know, when I was in IBM, I had a great sponsor who took me from Ireland to London. And I had this most amazing job for 12 months where I got to follow a senior executive around as his EA. It was an executive assistant role. That's what they called it. So you got to sit in every single meeting that he sat in. You've seen the language that was used. You've seen the deals that were done. It was the most amazing job. And this guy, Dave Kay was his name. He was just the most amazing man. He was just such a clever guy. And we'd sit in a meeting and it would be quite a complex subject that was going on. And he would be able to take that subject and bring it to the next meeting. And within 5 minutes, he was talking about this like he knew everything about it.
Yes.
It was, you know, fascinating. But I learned a huge amount from this guy. And then from there, having that opportunity, it created a level of visibility for me within the executive team in the UK. But then I was able to take on a sales director role in the UK, which I would never have got if I hadn't have moved from Dublin to London with this sponsor recognizing my potential. And the same at LinkedIn, but LinkedIn was quite specific. They had a sponsorship program.
Okay,
they had a female-led leadership program for high-performing women within the organization. And when you were put on this, you were given a very senior sponsor within the organization. And that person's role was to look across all of the brands, all of the business, to see where was the best move for Deirdre in her next role, so that, you know, to take her on a journey to fulfill her full potential, if you know what I mean. So I think that role, more so than mentor, is a great way for organizations to invest in supporting women to think differently about their career.
Yeah, I know, certainly, Deirdre, like this idea of sponsorship and having a sponsor was not something I was aware of when I was in corporate. It's only something I've learned about in the last few years. And so now I'm telling everyone about it. I'm like, you need to get a sponsor. You need to find who that person is. That's absolutely incredible that LinkedIn has a specific program for that. So they're connecting women with senior people in the organization. Those senior leaders have visibility across the different brands that LinkedIn operates in and, you know, are aware and can advise where you would be best placed. Like, that's an incredible opportunity. But I think more organizations need to, you don't have to do a full-on program, but I think if you are an individual, and women especially, I think, need this, they need this level of support. But seeking out that sponsor, what might that look like? Think about what's in it for them. So they're very detached maybe from the day-to-day running of the business, the day-to-day dealing with the clients, because they don't have that level of visibility. So that's what's in it for them. Share what you can about your role. What are people saying on the ground? What are your team saying? What are the challenges that are being faced? Because that's firsthand information rather than, you know, going by the quarterly engagement survey or something where people are like, oh, can I really say what's on my mind? Whereas, you be able to give them that type of access. Like, that's always my perception, but I certainly didn't know. Obviously we had mentors and we had very specific mentorship for women and connecting women with you know, across the board in EMEA, connecting with other women in senior positions and being a mentor as well for women who are early career. So we had that, but I wasn't aware while I worked in corporate sponsorship.
And I think there's a distinctive difference between both, right? Mm. So a mentor is, I've walked that path.
Yes.
I can help advise you. I can give you feedback on how you're doing. I can help, you know, solve any problems that you're facing because I've been there.
Mm.
For me, a sponsor is an advocate.
Yes. It's,
they might not know you, but as you said, it works both ways. So you're feeding up to them. This is who and what I am. This is my contribution. This is how I'm performing within the organization. This is what's going on in your organization.
Mm.
And then what I want back from you is I want you to talk about me. Because you know, and I know, having worked in senior positions in corporate world, those conversations, promotions happen behind closed doors.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, pay rises happen behind closed doors. I've been in those meetings.
Same.
And what used to frighten the life out of me, Aoife, was when people weren't talking about people.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you talking about Mary?
Yeah.
You're her manager. You know, why? Like, and when I used to sit in those meetings, and I, the ones that people weren't talking about used to worry me more than the ones people were talking about.
Yeah.
And we have a responsibility as an employee to make sure that people, our manager and people in that room, have something to say about us.
Yes.
We need to feed them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think when you're strategically managing your career, you know about these things. But when I was working in corporate, I just didn't know how to do this. I didn't know that other people were doing it. The scary thing for me, Deirdre, was, and I always think there was this, and by the way, for anyone who's listening, at the time of this recording, I will be doing a kind of a behind the curtain on performance management, where I'm going to expose the secrets that I know about when it comes to performance management, that hopefully will give you some food for thought when it comes to this type of stuff. But some of the conversations were around someone who I thought was just unpleasant, is probably the nicest way I can describe her, really unpleasant to deal with internally, but she was amazing with clients. And there were three people in that room saying, she is awful to deal with. I don't like dealing with her. And her boss was there advocating for her, saying, but she's brilliant and she's this and she's that. And with three of us in the room at the same time saying, absolutely not. And when you compare this person with this person, I would absolutely give that person a 5 versus that the other one who was just unpleasant to deal with. And like I said, that's the nicest thing that I could say about her. Like, she truly was not a good person to deal with at all. And there was a few people in the room that said that. But that ties in, Deirdre, with something that I wanted to pick up on that you had mentioned earlier in passing, and this idea of brand and our personal brand. And again, I probably had a vague awareness of this idea of a personal brand when I was working in corporate. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what that means and how to influence what people say about you when you're not in the room, how to influence what people are thinking about you and what they're saying in those rooms where it's actually really important?
So for me, brand is about visibility.
Yeah.
And I think visibility is probably the one thing that women shy away from.
Yes.
They're not comfortable with. They don't want to lift their head above the parapet because somebody might see them. So in all of the work that I do with women, brand is at the core of that work. Because if you don't have a level of visibility within your organization, then nobody's going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to see you for promotion. Nobody's going to see you for the juicy projects that are coming out. You know, be careful about the brand you build for yourself. So if you're busy off, you know, working really hard, saying yes to everything that's coming at you and not being strategic about the projects that you pick, then you're going to become the dumping ground. You're going to be the, oh, she will give that over to Deirdre. She'll get it done.
Yeah.
You know, I had a reputation in IBM as the fixer. So I was really going in and good at going in and fixing teams. Because nobody else wanted to put the time and effort into managing performance, ensuring that people were at the right level within the organization.
Yeah.
But I was good at that because I had a real interest in people. So I was put in to do that. But then it became part of my brand, and it wasn't necessarily the brand that I wanted to have.
So you get kind of known for this thing by default, and like, oh, let's bring Deirdre in. She's really good at that. And it's like, no, I don't, that's not what I want, because then I get stuck at this level and I actually want to progress.
And where I learned about this stuff was from a lady called Carla Harris. I don't know if you've ever come across Carla Harris. She talks about her pearls of wisdom. She is a Black American woman who is very senior. I think it's Morgan Stanley. And she does a huge amount of stuff on YouTube around her. But one of her pearls of wisdom is around creating a brand for yourself. So what are the three words that you want to be known for? And how do those three words align with the values and the strategy of the organization? So once you've got an alignment between those, the sweet spot of all of that, then you need to go out and start talking about yourself in those terms. So I wanted to be known as being strategic. I wanted to be known as somebody who was strong on growing businesses, and I wanted to be known as a good people leader. So in every conversation I had to engineer those three terms into every conversation. So it became natural for me and my narrative, but also that's what people heard. So this is when I was at LinkedIn. And at the time I had created a strategy. I was running a UK and Ireland business for mid-market, and I had created a strategy with my team for this business. And I was going out selling my strategy to anybody who would listen to me, going, created this strategy. And because that's what I wanted my brand to be. That's how I wanted people to think about me, because I wanted to move into a senior director role. And as a senior director on LinkedIn, being strategic was a very important part of being successful in that role. So it got to the stage where I was having a coffee one day in the canteen in LinkedIn, and this guy came up to me. He was running another part of the business, and he said to me, "Peter, I hear you're very strategic. Can you help me build a strategy for my business?" And I just remember going, yes,
It's worked.
it works. It works. And Carla Harris tells a great story about how she wanted to be known as really tough. And she used that word really tough. And then she heard those words coming back to her. So that's one strategy to help build your brand, but build it on your own terms. But it's also about having a narrative. And one thing I learned from a boss that I had at LinkedIn was at the end of every quarter and at the end of every year, he would build a narrative around his quarter and his year so that he was able to talk about it in the elevator as he went up in the elevator at LinkedIn with the CEO of LinkedIn. He had it at the tip of his tongue. So having your narrative and what's helped you be successful and the impact that you've had in your business, I think is a really it's really important that you've got access to that in the moment so you can share it with whoever you need to share it with.
Like you say, that it's on the tip of your tongue, but like if I think back, or if I think about this, like what practically could people do? It's thinking, what is it that I want in this quarter? What are my objectives? How do they relate to the business? And then this is likely, at the time of recording, it's likely to come out towards the end of March. So if you're listening in real time, you're coming up to the end of Q1. What is it that you've achieved in Q1, and how can you turn that into a story that is reflective of the brand that you want to put out there in the business? So you executed on this particular strategy, or you've started it, or you've designed it, or whatever it might be. So think about those words. And then what I was going to say as well is thinking back to my corporate days and the monthly reminder that popped up every month to say, put down in your notebook in a document somewhere, because this would have been all, I'm sure, pre-Google Docs from what I remember. So it wouldn't have been in the cloud, it would have been on our laptop somewhere, or in a notebook or something like that. What have you achieved? So thinking about, well, what have you achieved this month, so that when it comes to filling out the form at the end of the year that we all have to fill out to say, this is what I've achieved, that it really comes easily for you. Now, I will be the first to admit that I wasn't great at doing that every month. And sometimes at the end of the year, there would be gaping holes or there'd be gaps or whatever. But anyone who's listening now, take this as a reminder to do that so that you don't get to the end of the year wondering, well, what did I actually achieve this year? Really think about that. And also, there's an opportunity, I think, to course correct if you are writing stuff down. You're like, that's not really what I want to be known for. Like, that is not really in line with the brand that I want to put out there. Deirdre, you brought up this other idea around visibility and the fact that oftentimes women are afraid to be visible. Do you want to kind of talk us through a little bit? I mean, I see that all the time, but any thoughts that you have about why? Like, why do we not want to be visible?
We're talking about ourselves because we see it as bragging.
Yeah.
We see it as being arrogant. We see it's too much.
Yeah.
So we have to find our way of talking about ourselves in an authentic way for us.
Yes.
So going back to what you were saying around, you know, capturing all of this, all of the good stuff that we do. So I call it a confidence journal.
Yeah.
And I encourage every woman that I work with to have their confidence journal. And at the end of every week, I want you to put in there what you've achieved, any feedback that you've received from your team, from your manager, any accolades that you've won, any performance management, your annual performance reviews, you know, whatever's happened. Because the way our women's brains work is that we will focus on the negative and not on the positive. So if I'm sitting here in front of you, Nan, and saying, you know, I love your podcast. It's absolutely amazing. You've had the most fantastic guests over the last couple of years. Every time I listen in, I learn something new. It's wonderful. But I think if you did this one thing differently, you might get a better quality of listeners.
Mm.
So what did you hear in all of that?
All I heard was the negative. That I could do something differently. And also you're saying something about my listeners. So we're trying not to cause any offense here to anyone who's listening to the podcast.
No, exactly.
I'm joking. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how our brains are wired.
Yeah, we focus on
We'll focus on that one bad but.
Yeah.
And we'll miss the three great things.
Mm.
So unless we capture those three great things in our notebook, in our confidence journal, or wherever you want to put them, they'll be gone and lost forever.
Yeah.
And we'll stop and we'll ruminate over that one negative thing that was said to us.
Yeah.
And we can go into a spiral.
Yeah.
We can't get out of.
Yeah.
So
been there. I've absolutely been there. Yeah.
Yeah. So our confidence journal is that evidence-based facts. It's all facts. There's nothing in there that's porcupines. We're not telling ourselves lies.
Yeah.
This is all the reality of our situation. So to help boost our confidence when we need it most.
Mm.
Because when we need to talk about ourselves, everything's in here. All the things that we need to talk about are in here.
Yeah.
So we can build our story from this.
Yeah.
But we have to. So one of the strategies I really encourage the women I work with to do is to, you have to practice your story. Like, it can't just be written down in a notebook.
Yeah.
You have to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's to your husband or your partner or the cat or the dog or your best friend, practice.
Yeah.
Practice talking about yourself. And I always use the example. In IBM, it was a very male-dominated world. And I used to be in the coffee queue and there'd be rows of men chatting in front of me and they'd be having, and you'd listen to them and they would be, they'd be killed telling each other how great they are and how one was better than the other and how they did this and the other. Whereas if it was two women in front of me in the coffee queue, it would be more of a social conversation because women create conversation around social and then we build up to, this is what I do. It doesn't come naturally for us to talk about our achievements in a coffee queue unless we're practiced and unless we have to.
Yeah.
Or you'd nearly have to put a gun to a woman's head to do it.
Yeah. I think building up slowly as well and doing it over time. So if it's up to now, you haven't really been articulating what you've been doing well to your boss, take this as an opportunity to use that narrative, to use that story, to use those words, to talk about your achievements directly to your boss. Your boss, I have no doubt, is going to be talking to their boss and the other leaders in the business about what it is that you're up to. And if you can articulate with numbers the impact that you're having on the organization and also how that relates to the overall organization's goals, I think that will put you kind of head and shoulders above the other people. And that, you know, sounding like a real competitive environment, but I think oftentimes companies are competitive.
But if you think about it, if I'm like at, you know, times in my career, I would have had 10 direct reports. It's very hard to keep track of all how all 10 are doing. So I relied on them to tell me, you know, how they were doing. And if you weren't telling me, then I didn't know. So I wasn't able to talk about you.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of that's my bad and I get it. But there's, you know, 20 other million things going on.
Yeah.
So I need you.
You need to make it easy for people. Bosses. Yeah.
We need to make it easy. Yeah.
That's like, I mean, you've gone through the process for being a guest on the podcast, Deirdre. You know, I like to make it as easy for people as possible to do what it is I need them to do. So I've set up systems to collect pictures, to collect your bio, to collect your social media channels. I send automated reminders so that you're going to show up here. You're going to show up on time for our recording. So like, I like to make things easy for people to do what it is that I want them to do. But I think sometimes we forget. And if I think even think back to my corporate days, thinking about the people I work with in my business now, when you offload something off your plate that was previously on your plate, you kind of forget that someone else is doing it and how much time it takes and all of the little intricacies. So if you're listening to this now and you're getting work from your boss, remind them that that's on your plate, because they may not remember once it's off their plate. Like you say, Deirdre, we've got a million things spinning around in your head that you need to deal with, and there's a reason that it's off your plate. And if you can just remind someone, this is something that I'm working on, this is the impact, and these are the changes I've identified, or these are the changes that I've made. It's just, it makes your life easier.
It makes your life easier. It makes the manager's life easier. Yeah. It helps you build that narrative that you need to create the brand and visibility that you want within, with, you know, to get to the next step. And I think as you build that, you build your confidence, which gives you the confidence to say yes to bigger opportunities, or say yes to speaking engagement, maybe to build your brand. So it's all like, they're all small steps. And I'm a big believer in tiny, tiny steps always take you on a journey.
Totally.
And it's about how can you be a little bit more courageous with yourself every day?
Yeah.
10% braver every day is what I ask of my clients. 10% doesn't take you too far outside your comfort zone. It doesn't rattle the cages too much. It doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, but it gives you the courage to move that one step further.
Love that. It's such a nice idea. And again, if I'm thinking back to the company that I was working with last week, they had people on to MC. They asked people to volunteer for these stretch opportunities who would never have done that. They would never have spoken in public before. And the ones who stepped up to do that saw it as a stretch opportunity. You know, this is a great opportunity for me to start speaking in public, start speaking in front of people. So I think seeking out those opportunities is really, really important. And Deirdre, if I could summarize everything that we're talking about, we sort of started talking about, like, is this the right place for me, or what is, you know, how do I uncover my purpose or what I really, really want? And then we kind of broadened the conversation into more, well, how do I go after what it is that I really, really want by being more visible, by growing in confidence, by uncovering what my purpose is, all of these things that are so, so important, I think, if we want to feel a sense of success in our careers. And success being whatever that means for you, it could be a bit more freedom, it could be more money, it could be a title, whatever that is. But again, kind of going back to this why, like, what is your purpose, or going back to what it is that you really, really want. And so thank you so much for sharing all those insights. And I have no doubt that people who are listening today can put into action straight away at least one of the things that we talked about. Because again, when I'm talking to people, I don't like to overwhelm them and say, well, you know, here's 10 strategies that you can, it's like, just pick one, work on that. Listen back to the podcast again. You might hear something different the next time you listen. So really, really appreciate that. The question that I ask everyone who comes on the podcast, what does being happier at work mean to you?
I'm the happiest chappy in the world at work. But, you know, I ask this to my clients a lot. And it's about having some level of meaning for me. Like, why, remembering why do I work? How do I connect my why to my day-to-day tasks so that you can see how it impacts you as a person on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. If you can find that meaning in the tasks that you do, if you can go back to connecting with why you work in the first place. And for some people, it's to provide for their families. For other people, it's to build a career that, or to be of service to a client. It doesn't really matter what it is. For you, it matters that you understand what it is for you. And then surrounding yourself with positive relationships that's supporting you to be who you want to be at work. So yeah, so I would say figure out meaning and tasks. I would say build positive relationships around you. Go back to your why you do what you do. And then find work for you in the job that you do.
Oh, absolutely love that. Thank you so much. And Deirdre, if people want to connect with you, if they want to reach out and if they want to find out more about what it is you do, what's the best place they can do that, or what's the best way they can do that?
I'd say LinkedIn is probably the best place to connect with me, and to, if you want to spend time with me, that's a great place to do it. So I'm Deirdre McGinn on LinkedIn, and then my website is www.stepupstepin.ie. So
brilliant.
Step up into a bigger job and step in with confidence.
Love it. I love it. So we will put all of the links to those in the show notes anyway, Deirdre. And thank you so, so much for your time today. Loads of pearls of wisdom from yourself. Thank you so much for your time. That was another episode of the Happier at Work podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in today, and I really hope today's episode resonated with you. If you did enjoy today's episode, I'd love for you to take a couple of minutes or even a couple of seconds to leave a rating or a review on your favorite podcast platform. It really does mean the world to me. As always, if you want to connect with me, you'll find all of my links on the website happieratwork.ie.